world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 243. I'm creator and host Don Hutchison. Every day I interview someone from around the world who has discovered her talents to do work she loves, to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. After her husband died suddenly, Siobhan Moran was feeling lost. I just dove into helping a small pharmaceutical company grow, and I put every ounce of my energy into it. We were doing amazing fun things, but there was a price. Because she hadn't been paying attention to her body for so long, she became deathly ill. Today, I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Siobhan Moran. Welcome, Siobhan.
Hey, Don. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. Siobhan, are you using your talents doing work that you love?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All righty. Well, we want to hear the whole story. Siobhan Moran is a business advisor, master coach, quantum energy thought leader, and the founder of Energetic Solutions. Having worked with over 15,000 entrepreneurs, Siobhan has combined her corporate experience, rapid growth expertise, and unique approach using energetic techniques and principles to help innovate small businesses into big conglomerates. Well, Siobhan, that's a pithy summary of your career. Tell our listeners around the world what you're doing now that has you engaged and excited, if you would, please.
Oh my goodness. I'm really focusing on a lot of how people's words are affecting their lives and their successes and their failures, and stems back to this other energy thing. But the most important thing is, you know that saying whenever you're a kid that is like, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know, when we have a deeper understanding of how, you know, energy works and how we're, you know, the highly sensitive people have different sensitivities, it's like names do hurt and words do work or in our favor or against us. And yes. So it was really inspired by actually somebody sending me a scathing and disgusting email. And I love to teach from that perspective. So don't send me a scathing email. But, I love to turn those really ugly things into something that's beautiful and positive that could help somebody else out there in the world maybe have a better life, more success, be a better leader, have more income, have a better relationship. You know, it's about that whole package, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, relational, financial. And that's where I deal. Is yes. That whole package.
Well, we are what we think and how we think and how we process the information. Does NLP or any of those modalities fit into any of this?
No, I never studied any of that stuff, but I will say this. I was always a highly sensitive person, and as many people are on the planet, and then they become tough and stubborn and, you know, driven and all these things that harden them. Yes. I fortunately had enough bumps in the road, and I'll tell that story in a bit, but enough mm-hmm. big bumps in the road that I've really just stayed in those sensitivities to really give people a chance to have the life that they truly want. So no, I don't do NLP. I just, you know, I tell what I call the highest truth that I can find in the land and bring that to my language and my teachings and my conferences and my interactions, engagements with clients.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Well, as you know, every one of our lives is composed of turning points where we have choices and chances and opportunities and obstacles that we face and deal with, good, bad, or indifferent, and they shape the next handful of the years of our lives. Take us back in your story as far back as you want to go and tell us about some of the more memorable turning points that have made Siobhan Moran, Siobhan Moran.
In the beginning, no, just kidding.
all right, I like that. It's good, let's go with that.
Right, in the beginning. Now, the couple big turning points are when I was 11, I wanted this particular blouse, this shirt. And I could really buy anything I wanted up till that point in time. You know, just go in and sign my name on an account, and that's what I could have. That's how small the town was. My parents said, nope, you can't have it because it's over your limit. And I was like, okay, but I really want it. And they said, well, you can have it if you can figure out how to get the money for it. And I thought, well, what do you do? And they said, well, go find a job, go find something to do that people will pay you. And so I actually went and got I took the lawnmower and I created a lawn mowing route. So I started that at 11. I sold that to my brother when I probably had it 5 or 6 years. I sold that to my brother for a t-shirt. I really wanted that t-shirt big time. So that was my first business.
Did you just screw up your courage and go knock on neighbors' doors and say, hey, you know me?
Oh, God, no. Yeah. Scared, small girl, introverted, you know, all those things. No, okay. I actually just picked the old lady down the street.
Right.
And she had the biggest lawn. And I just went up to her door and I said, looks like you need your lawn mowed.
Right.
Apparently did. Apparently her gardener or whatever had quit and or he wasn't available. Something had happened. And I became her, you know, her lawnmower. You know, I would mow her lawn every week.
Wow. What'd she pay you?
It's really funny because she paid me $11, and I think it was just for $11 for my 11 years.
<don't really> that was a pretty fair amount of money, wasn't it?
It was a lot. It was totally a lot. So all I really needed to do was do like five times, and I had my shirt. Right. And I really was like, yep, I bought my shirt. And then I started to think, wow, I could actually just buy what I want, and I don't have to ask my mom and dad. So that really started the whole thing, I think.
Good. Well, in school, in academics or just in regular training, what were you interested in? What kinds of subjects caught your imagination?
You know, I was really bored in school. I was just really bored. I always got really good grades, and I didn't have to study, and I didn't know it was a big deal. I was just bored. And so I'd go in, I'd listen, I'd take the test. I'm one of those kinesthetic learners. I'm not, you know, I love books, but, you know, books are secondary. And that's, of course, I know that now. But I would, if I just showed up to class, I would do well. And so I can't really say I had a specific interest other than maybe skipping school.
Right. Okay.
I think my biggest interest was interacting with my dad at his office. And trying to figure out how people worked. And I think that really came from, you know, a few things that happen, you know, when you're a child, a few things happen. And one of them was, you know, a bunch of girls were really mean. And I really think that that caused me to want to understand why people are the way they are and how can I get them to understand that there's something more to what they're doing and how they're being. So I pretty much think that was a great seminal moment. Thing, the next seminal moment was when because I was bored in school, my mom took me to this new school where they had computer programming as a pilot program for kids in high school. And she's like, you're bored and they won't graduate you early. So here, we're going to go do this. And so she put me in computer programming. And so I started programming computers when I was 14. I don't know if I was good or not good at it, but I remember it. And it's really, you know, the functional thinking and the linear thinking is what I use today in order to help people. I know it's really been a great catalyst for me. That was interesting. And then I had a job. I think I was a senior, maybe a junior or senior in high school. And this guy who had a whole bunch of Arby's, like chains or restaurants, and he like made me his assistant controller. You know, I'm like 16 years old. Okay, cool. But it was boring and it was inside and I like nature and, you know, so it really wasn't going to serve me. So I didn't stay very long. But yeah, those were a couple seminal moments.
Did you go off to college?
I went off to college, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I went off to college because I just really didn't, you know, I really didn't like the way everybody wanted you to go to college. So I found kind of my own way and I ended up in computer science, math, and art. I decided that the left brain and the right brain really needed balancing at that time, right?
Wow.
And
that was pretty unusual, to say the least, to combine those.
I think so. You know, when I look back, I think I just must have been a weirdo. But it was something that I didn't understand because if I would show up at class, it wasn't the same as when I was in high school. And, you know, the grading system was very, very different. So it was a little bit more challenging, but I did okay. And then I actually left early. Our house was broken into. We had a great big house and all the girls were away and our house was broken into. And I was like, yep, I think I just need to get over my fear and I need to go and do what I'm here to do on the planet. And that was based upon something my dad said. He said, you know, he wanted to be a pro golfer. And he told me this when I was in college. And he said, you know, don't do what I did. Do whatever it is that you want that makes you happy, even if I don't like it. And make sure that you stay true to that throughout your entire life, because at some point in time, you'll say, I wish. And I just want you never to say, I wish.
Wow.
And so I really, you know, I took that to heart and decided I needed to move to California.
You were at the university or in college studying computer math, computer science, math, and art. And you progressed along a year or two or three. How long were you in school?
Couple, 2.5 years. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then that's when your house was broken into and you decided you wanted to get out of here.
Yeah. Life's too short. And you know what? He had whatever he said sounds right. And I think there's more. Okay. And that was really the basis. So, you know, moved across the country and, you know, made it to Denver the first time and had to come back, you know, as many of us do, come back to my roots and, you know, saved a whole bunch of money and then made it to California the second time. Wow. And I decided my second time I was going to do it so that if I didn't want to work for 6 months to a year, I would have enough money set aside. So that was my thinking at the time. It was a good thing. However, you know, I was kind of bored after a couple months and I was like, yeah, I got a good job. This is boring. Right. My mind is very active. So I worked for this little company that really brought me to understanding how I could use all of my gifts and talents and ideas and creativeness and computer programming. And it was the first company that had the under desk keyboard drawers and like articulating arms for monitors and things like this. Oh. That was really ergonomics. It was really the first foray into ergonomics for the desk.
Oh, wow.
And I was really hooked because the two founders, a gentleman who was an engineer and his son-in-law, were the founders, and they were just amazing people. And, you know, they called themselves entrepreneurs, and I didn't really know what that was. I was just like, yeah, cool, but you have your own business. This is awesome. This is what everybody needs. So I started when there were 12 of us, and then that grew and it got sold to Rubbermaid. And I thought, okay, great. Corporate is not for me. It's like they had too many big once they got too big for the britches, I was like, I'm good. Let's find another one. And so I just found a whole bunch of those and helped those, you know, help those ideas get bigger and, you know, fulfill their mission, and loved it. During the time of one of those, I'd gotten married and my husband had died suddenly.
I'm going to work.
And so I was kind of lost. So I really just dove into helping this one company. It was a small nutraceutical pharmaceutical company. And I just dove in, you know, hook, line, sinker, and pole, and put every ounce of my energy into it. There were five of us when I started, you know, built systems and marketing and contracts and all these really amazing fun things. But there was a price. And the price was, because I hadn't been paying attention to my body for so long, I got sick, misdiagnosed, and nearly died from blood poisoning.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was a pretty seminal moment. And I remember thinking, okay, well, I'm still left here on the planet. I'm not going to walk around sick the rest of my life. And, you know, I got left here for a reason. So let's just get healthy and figure out what that is. And I found out that time, even though I was working for a pharmaceutical company, I didn't believe in drugs. Right. I didn't like taking them. I didn't like the way they made me feel. And I thought that way pretty much my whole life. I just didn't know it was a really, really big deal until I ended up in the emergency room and they were trying to force me to take something I didn't want to. I thought, well, I heard this thing on the radio and the body heals itself. So all it needs is this energy thing. And I was like, I do not know what that is, but that sounds good. It makes sense to my little logical brain. They demonstrated a few techniques on the radio. I guess I thought, okay, that makes complete logical sense. That, then that, then that, then that, and then the body gets better. Okay, great. I thought, well, if I can build a company or I can be part of a team building a company, I should be able to heal my own body. I didn't know that most people don't think like this.
Right.
So I did that. And I laid on my sofa and I really just started thinking about, you know, the times in my life and my late husband and, you know, some of the things he and I talked about, you know, health and wellness and how I, you know, made decisions along the way from different points in my life, etc. And I thought, well, I think I remember the first time when I thought myself into being sick. So if I can think myself into being sick, I should be able to think myself into being well.
Okay.
Okay. So that was kind of the foundation. Then I, you know, experimented with, you know, massage and acupuncture and all these other things. Nothing really truly worked except for the way I started to understand how energy worked.
Mm-hmm. How long was this process from when you got really sick at the pharmaceutical company and nearly died, and then you started, they tried to treat you, it didn't work, and then you started looking inside? How long was that? Was that months or a year or two?
I'd gotten very sick, and I was walking around with that blood poisoning for about 7 months, which apparently is highly unusual. And then I ended up in the emergency room, and then that took about 2 months. They said it was probably going to take 6 months to a year, and I didn't. I just decided that they didn't know what they were talking about, even though I just have different ways of thinking. So I thought, well, I kind of need to be back at 2 months, and I have kind of the mental tolerance to be out of work for about 2 months. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to take 2 months. So that was kind of my decision.
Okay. So you turned your thinking around.
I really turned it on rather than around.
What did that look like?
Well, most people go around in their life very unconscious. They're not paying attention to signals that their body is telling them. You know, you put food in and food comes out in another way, and we don't pay attention to all the different things that are happening, except whenever we're sick. And that's when we start paying attention for a minute, and then we hand the permission over to somebody else who supposedly has more information about us, except they don't live in our bodies.
Right.
And they don't really know how we feel. They can just kind of sort of guess based upon what we're telling them. And the truth of the matter is, if we do a lot of looking at our inner world, at the way we think, the way we act, the way we behave around people, the way people behave around us, the way we feel, the way we emote, you know, those kind of things. You know, if you're angry, there is an anger energy that's stored in your system, and it has to come out somewhere. And if you're angry, then it's been locked in there somewhere. If you're afraid, it's been locked in there somewhere. So this little thing that we have called skin, it locks everything in, and we have to figure out how to get it out and mm-hmm. be good humans. Mm-hmm. So to turn it on means to have awareness and pay attention and be in your body. And most people get ungrounded and out of their bodies very, very easily because of one or another trauma that's happened in their life and maybe continues to happen. And I know that the death of my husband had me way out of my body. Mm-hmm. And I just was so focused and driven on, you know, providing results and, you know, really getting this cool technology out there for people to, you know, heal their kidneys. It was a kidney disease protocol. It's really fascinating because what I've discovered over these, you know, I guess 18 years, is that most people, almost all people, are very, very ungrounded and completely unaware of their circumstances in and around them most of the time.
Yes, it's so easy for us to live in our thoughts and in our thinking, and our thinking and thoughts are not, that's just a little part of who we are. Most people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a scientist client who provided a lot of the genomes from, I guess, Russia. And he and I were talking about energy one day because he's very into the energy medicine and energy healing and proving it out. This is the second half of his life that he's gotten into this. And one day I said, well, you know, 90% of our world is unseen. And he said, wait, that is not accurate, you know, as a scientist would do. And mm-hmm. he said, no, it's 99.something% is of our world is unseen. I said, really? Wow, that's amazing. That's a bigger number than even I thought. And so we live in a very tangible world where we have a phone and a computer and a body and clothes and, you know, cars and all these things. And that's really a small part of what our true reality is as far as energetically. And it's really about taking those concepts of that truth that science has proven and saying, okay, so if I'm a very small percentage of what I've created, I have a lot of ability to create things if I really understood how my mind and this energy thing worked.
That must be an amazing challenge to take a a client, a person, whoever you meet and run in contact with, and make help them begin to make that shift? It must be just incredibly complicated.
I just take it very slow and created. I shore up the foundation, because generally our foundation is based upon, you know, how our parents taught us to think and how our school has taught us to think, how we really process emotions based upon what we have learned from our surroundings. You know, I start from the outside in and the inside out. I have to do it simultaneously. And most people start with thought. Mm-hmm. And thought is one of the most difficult things to contain or control. It's like, oh, let go. Really? Whoever really just lets go? You know, so I've created all of these tools and techniques that really get people to truly let go and get out of their head and get back in their body. Because if somebody's back in their body, I have a client from several years ago who was very, very out of her body after her divorce. And I guess her husband had gotten very sick and had healed him, had gotten well from cancer. And she was so out of her body that whenever she went into the sales position, she just couldn't sell a thing. And so we taught her a few techniques on how to get grounded and, you know, to really pay attention and to have more awareness. We had her do these techniques multiple times throughout the day. And generally we tend to think as humans, oh, I should just do it once and that's fine. But how to do it multiples of times throughout the day. And the next year she made $500,000 in income from her sales because she was grounded and in her body.
Right. Good Lord. What an impressive story. Did she feel good?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. She actually took over her father's business, and her father before that was just like, you're a flake. We are not going to have you part of our family business. She actually took over the family business and has really helped it thrive.
We have discussed the statistics. It's a mouthful about how surveys been going on for 20 years around the world by Gallup and other international organizations that go into the workplace every year and interview hundreds of thousands of people in a couple of hundred countries. And they ask a simple question. Are you using the best of who you are, your talents, your skills to do meaningful work? And the majority say no. They say no. What's that about?
I can only use myself as an example. I think this is a really great one. I knew that I wanted to get to California, and then I met my husband pretty immediately. And he was probably one of the happiest people I'd ever met, who was totally on purpose and doing exactly what he loved. And I thought, wow, that's so awesome. That's just amazing. And I marveled at it every day. He worked hard and, you know, it wasn't easy for him, but I thought, yeah, that's really cool. And I really never thought much about what I was here to do, other than I knew I just needed to get to California. That was my only thought at the time. So I took one step. And then when he died, you know, I'd heard I'd read this story that you get to take the good things of people or the bad things of people, you can take all of people. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to take all the really cool stuff. I'm not going to take the really not cool stuff, because he was always mm-hmm. late. I was not a late person, so I wasn't going to take that. And then I took another step. And then after he died, I was given some advice to say yes to everything. And so I took another step. So generally, I think what happens is we're looking at the whole as to, you know, the end and how far away it is and how it couldn't ever happen for us. And we can't chunk it down in a way to just take a step to get to that next place. And you know, programming is about taking one more step, adding one more line of code, adding one more piece. Business is about taking, you know, each chunk of the business and finding out where the greatest assets are and liabilities are. And so I think we don't chunk it down into small enough bites so that we really can get to a place of finding that happiness. We're always looking for that one golden ring of happiness. When you have such a huge loss, like I did, you know, I chunked it down to, okay, if I could just breathe. And so that was my first step. And then I just took another step and took another step. And along the way, it's just like, dang, you know what, this is kind of a cool life. It's kind of amazing. Look what I get to do. I get to create what I want and help people create what they want. So I think we don't chunk it down enough. I think that's the biggest challenge.
I think that's a stunning observation. When I think about how I've tackled problems all my life, sometimes they're gargantuan, sometimes they're not. But regardless, you simply, I think chunk it down is a good way to say it. If you don't break it down into bite-sized chunks and then prioritize those chunks and know what you can do now and what that leads to, how can you ever possibly achieve the whole? You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. That's beautifully said.
Thanks.
So what have been the greatest benefits of you being able to chunk it down and build this life that you are obviously living and thriving in? What have been the greatest benefits to Siobhan Moran?
You know, because I've been able to create what I want, that whatever I can do, I need to do. But it's really about others. It's really, what can I do for others to get them to create what they want? I mean, if the world just has this is, and this is something I've thought all my life. I remember as a little tiny child that if the world just had one more person who was just really amazing, it would be that much better of a planet. Walt Whitman has this saying that if all you ever do in your entire lifetime is help one person turn their life around, then you've had a life worth living. And it's, you know, that's that chunking down thing, right?
Sure, it is. That's perfect.
Right. And so it's like taking all of those bits and saying, okay, so where do I start? What step do I take? And so what I do with my clients is I look for, you know, what's the first step? Where is that first step? Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it emotional? Is it relational, financial? You know, and almost always it's financial. And then we wind into other things. However, if I am able to help enough other folks achieve their goals, objectives, desires, then I know that that's just going to come back to me in massive ways. And it has.
In this illuminating journey of yours, have there been inspirational books or resources that you would like to share with listeners?
One of the first books I remember reading was Og Mandino, and it was The Greatest Salesman in the World. And it's really not about sales, actually. It's about getting what you want. And I remember reading that, you know, I wasn't even a teen. I was sitting inside my closet with the light on. I didn't want my parents to know I was reading their books.
That's beautiful.
Right. That was the first one that really, really stuck with me. And I probably read it a whole bunch of times because being an introvert, you know, how do you talk to people? Right. And so that was one that has been, that was very huge for me. Another one was Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow. Now I'm going to tell a story. I actually never read the book. I decided that all I ever needed was the cover.
Good.
Another one is, and you know, I'm just going to tell this anyway. So it's called The Little Princess, and it's really about, you know, the ups and downs of this little girl. And, you know, Shirley Temple was one of the people who played the little princess, I guess, in a movie. And, you know, has everything, woo, the opulent life. Then her dad, she loses her dad, loses everything, and, you know, is a pauper. And then she goes through this amazing journey, and it really talks about what, you know, what she has the ability to create. And then the last one that has always been seminal for me is works by Florence Scovel Shinn, which is The Secret Door to Success.
What do you like about that so much?
Oh my goodness. You know, it's like small, you know, I mean, I like Marcus Aurelius and, you know, all these other ones, but, you know, it's the smaller books that are really like the wisdom is contained in just a few really powerful phrases. It's really gives you the ability to see that there's something deeper within each phrase on every step of your journey. Because if you're taking another step, then you're in a new place. And so you're going to read it differently each time.
Precisely. So what do you see happening in the next few years of your life? What's your vision going forward?
Oh, my goodness. We're certifying people in my techniques, my Ignite Your Prosperity techniques and my Energy Mastery techniques. So we've created a certification program. We have conferences, and we've actually taken that on the road, and we're doing tours, like kind of living room type tours, smaller events. and doing those all over the country.
That must be really fun.
It is. I've never done it. And all the time I've been doing this work's really funny. I've never done it. I've stayed in California and made everybody come to me. So it's fun. You know, I think we have Arizona and New York coming up fairly soon. I've written 20 books. Fascinating that I wrote 20 books and I take my own advice and I hire a team to really shore up my systems in the back end of my company. And, you know, all of the different marketing and lead capture and all of those things. And so that's taken a little while. But Sunday was the release of the first book. And in about 2 weeks, we'll have another book. And then about a month, we'll have another. So over the next, I guess, 18 months, we'll have all those 20 books out on, you know, Kindle and Amazon and on our website. So they've been written and edited and the covers have been done. We've just been waiting for the foundation to get fixed. So now that it's fixed, here we go.
Congratulations. How wonderful that is.
Yeah. I love writing.
You must, and you must be good at it. What are you proudest of at this point in your life and career?
That I'm still alive.
Oh.
I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but yeah, I'm amazed. It's an amazing thing to be like, wow, I'm kind of still here. How is that possible? And, you know, the people I get to interact with, and I'm actually more proud of the people that come into my life that succeed around me.
Yes.
Than myself. But yeah, I'm just proudest that I'm still here. It's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, I understand. I think that's wonderful. Siobhan Moran, what a great pleasure being with you today. We so much appreciate you sharing the highlights of your amazing life. And I know listeners around the world have learned many lessons that will help them on theirs. So how do those listeners connect with you?
Oh, yeah. So you can go to my website, Siobhan Moran, SHEEVAUNMORAN.com. Or if you're somewhere where you have a phone and you can text me, we'll actually send you a little book, an email. If you text this number, 949-214-4294, you have to type in the word secret. Then it's going to ask for your name. You're going to give us your first and last name. And then it's going to ask for your email address. And then we'll email you that book immediately.
Oh, fabulous. Excellent. Well, listeners can go to discoveryourtalentpodcast.com and go to the podcast section where we have show notes and highlights of this fine interview. And they can find the top line of the interview, but also these connecting points as well. I want to thank listeners across the world for joining us today, as in every day. You can also subscribe for free on iTunes and Stitcher. We have started this podcast in the last less than a year. We'd love for you to be a part of our tribe and tell us how we can serve you better. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We can't ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.